But it's good that we're gathered here together, being joined together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I just wanted to share with you this morning, I was reading through Isaiah 49, and I've read this verse a number of times, but it just stopped me in my tracks. Verse 15 and following says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." And I just began to dwell on that and just rejoice that, God, thank you that no matter where I am or what is going on or what I'm facing, that you have told me you will never forget me. And I just want to comfort you with those words here today, no matter what you're facing. You know, last week we looked at the Red Sea, and we're going to be looking a little bit more at that here this morning. But know this, that God, the God of this universe, the God of our salvation, the God who has paid the price for the forgiveness of our sins, has said, "I will not forget you." Let's just go in an attitude of prayer in our hearts here this morning as we begin our services. Just pray to him, whatever it is that is on your heart and your mind, pour it out before the God who has said, "I will not forget you." Almighty, infinite Father, we just praise you and thank you again for your promises. In the multitude of our anxieties within us, Father, your comforts delight our soul. Lord, how comforting it is to know, to hear from the lips of Almighty Jesus that you will never forget us. God, I pray that you would be with those who may be facing difficulty this morning. They may be in the midst of a very hard situation, the heartbroken, the confused, the frustrated, the lost. Lord, I pray that you would draw them unto yourself today. I pray that your spirit would be present here today. I pray for those who are in another part of the building praying for us right now, oh God, that you would fill them with your spirit and your power. I pray, Almighty God, that this service would exalt you. I pray that it would edify your people. I pray that it would draw the people who are lost to your saving graces. God, we need you here today as we do every day. We don't just need you on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. We need you every waking moment of every single day. May we realize that desperate state that we're in, and may we also understand that you are our sufficiency. We love you. We give you praise right now, not just with our mouth, but with our heart. And may now we exalt you, Father, through all that we sing and all that we say. For in the name of King Jesus, we ask it. And in that name alone, we pray and ask all things to the one true living God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We're going to ask everybody to please stand, and we're going to sing a song. It's an awesome song. It talks about how blessed the Lord's name is, and it is blessed. Amen? Amen. All right, here we go.
Desert.
And everyone said, amen. His name is blessed. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
No, I'm not going to sing. I'm just moving that. Boy, wasn't it spring like the last couple days? We saw chipmunks. I've never seen a chipmunk in February before. And we got a rock wall. And I think Terry counted like five of them running across the wall. And we saw them kind of looking at getting our bird seed and stuff. And never seen that in February. But don't lose heart. Pastor and I are thankful that I heard it's supposed to snow next week. So it is still winter. March is still full of winter, possibly. So we happen to like snow. All right, a couple announcements here. Ladies' Choir is starting tonight at 4 o'clock, so if you're interested in being part of the Ladies' Choir, please plan on being here for that. And then on the next page of the bulletin, the bowling night that was canceled for the snowstorm a week or two ago is rescheduled for March 5th, next Sunday, I believe that is. So if you haven't signed up, there's a sign-up sheet, I think, probably in the foyer, and you can get your name on there, and it's always a fun time of just a good time of fellowship. So if you're if you like bowling or don't like bowling but would like to watch bowling and watch people make fools out of themselves, then you can come to that event on next Sunday. Also, Trent, you want to talk about the Engage?
So in coming up in March, we're going to be actually starting practices after church on Sunday for the Sunday afternoons through March. Teens are going to have the ability to work as in church ministry. That's the theme for the group presentation this year, church ministry track. We're working with your teens. Encourage them to use the gifts and talents that God's given them to his service, because that's what they're for. So please be aware of that, and there'll be another teen activity. We'll announce it next week.
Okay. Amen. Thanks, Trent. And also, Awana Games practice starts tonight. Mark, do you want to add anything to that or anything? Any additional information?
Wilder Ricky will be leading that. Doing a great job.
Okay. So that's also tonight. So it's a busy time. We have the ushers come forward, and as they do, let's all stand, and we're going to recite together Deuteronomy 4:9. It's up on the board. Let's go ahead and recite that together now. Only take heed to yourself, and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. Deuteronomy 4:9. And Watson, would you lead us in a prayer?
Our Father and our God, we do thank you for this day you have given us. We thank you, Lord, that we can begin it in thy house. And Lord, we just pray today that if there be one who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that here today they might find him and know him. And Lord, we pray for those who are ministering your word at our missionaries throughout the world, Lord, that you extend this time, encourage them, strengthen them. Use your word to bring many lost to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we ask that you just bless these monies as we bring them forth to you, Lord, in tithes and offerings. Use them to magnify thy name, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid.
Everyone said, amen. That was awesome. We're going to ask you to stand because we're going to sing now also. But what a promise that he's coming again. Amen. Amen. What a promise he's coming again. Come on, somebody should be excited about that besides me. I know Pastor is. All right, we're going to sing an awesome song. What a friend we have in Jesus. That should be a comfort right there alone. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. Let's sing it. Here we go.
Oh,
Wow, you know, that's a serious promise. He knows your every weakness, and he's still your friend. Think about that one. That's a pretty serious thing to think about. He knows our every weakness. Not only that, he knew every sin, and he still died on a cross for us. No matter what, he gave his life. You know, we're about to sing two awesome songs, Our God Saves and Death Was Arrested. And I was reading this morning in Psalm 103, and I just wanted to share this as we're talking about everything Jesus did for us and the fact that God saves. And it says this in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. We forget about all those blessings. And this is, without a doubt, the biggest. Who forgiveth all my, thine, ours, iniquities. He forgives all of our iniquities. We'd be lost without that. Our God saves. Let's sing this song. It's an awesome song.
As your saints bow down, as your people.
And if you're rejoicing in that fact, say amen. I'll tell you what, how you could sing that song and not be smiling. Mourning turns into praise. Death is not the end of us when we stop breathing. Amen? Amen? We're going to serve him and praise him around the throne forever and ever and ever. And, you know, yeah, we mourn the fact that somebody that we loved isn't beside us, but if they're saved, they aren't suffering. Because we know in heaven, there are no tears, there are no sorrow, there is no sighing, there is no pain. It's a place, it's heaven. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to speed my way there, but I can't wait to get there. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a funny balance there, but do you know what I'm saying? That is exciting. Every day, every breath we take, we should be excited. Hey, heaven is what's coming. You know, when you're a kid and Christmas Eve, you are just amped up on fire, electric charge, because Christmas morning's coming. You know what I'm saying? That should pale compared to what we're thinking about waiting for us. I tell the teens this all the time. You know what happens as we get older? Is we get beat down and we get beat down and we see all the bad stuff and we get beat down. Man, if you're not careful, you turn out to be an old cranky person. Do you know what I'm saying? And the joy of the Lord, I hope you can see my smile under a beard. The joy of the Lord is what it's all about all the time, no matter how old you are. Death was arrested. He died for our sins. Let's sing this song. I hope you loved it last week. We're going to go over it again. Here we go.
Alone in my sorrows and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given away. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life,
Sent Jesus to die for us. We praise you and we thank you. In your son's holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
We do rejoice that we are free from the bondage of sin through Jesus Christ. And we're going to do something just a little different in the order of worship here this morning. Many times communion kind of gets hung on the end of our services and it gets rushed through. And it should not be that. Communion is a sacred ceremony, a time of remembering, looking back upon all that we just sang about here this morning, remembering what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross of Calvary, that shedding of blood that enabled us to have the forgiveness of sins. And it's that grace and that mercy that allows us to enter into his kingdom, that allows us to come before his presence. And so we're going to do that here this morning. We believe that communion is not restricted to a local body. That is, if you are saved, if you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've professed your sins and asked the Lord to forgive you of those sins, you've received that gift of salvation, then we welcome you, according to the biblical scriptures, to join in to the celebrating of Jesus Christ and what he has done for all of us. But if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, the Bible tells us that we should not partake of that supper. It's not that it's not available to all of us, but it is a very sacred and very holy thing. It also, a second thing, just not looking back to the cross, but it's looking back upon our life today. Where do we stand with Christ today? Is there any unconfessed sin that we have not come before him? And anybody not sin this week? Okay, just check in. All right. It's looking back and saying, Lord, maybe there's something that you're aware of, and I need to get this right with you. Or maybe it's, Lord, is there something that I'm not aware of that I need to get right with you? And you lay that before the Lord and then partake of that gracious atoning sacrifice that he gave to all of us. At this time, I'm going to ask our deacons if they would come and prepare to serve the elements to our people. I thank our deacons for serving the church body and continuing to serve all of us here this morning. And so we're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul is talking and writing about what it was that the Lord did that night before his crucifixion when he shared there with his disciples. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the book of Isaiah, it says, "By his stripes we are healed." You see, he took our beating. He took the shame and the punishment of our sin upon his body. And so as we take of this bread, it's the brokenness of Jesus Christ for all of us. Physically, but more so spiritually. Father, we come before you and I ask that you would be glorified here this morning, and we praise you and thank you for the sacrifice of laying yourself down willingly on the cross, taking my place. Lord, we thank you that you saw fit to provide that only way possible to the forgiveness of sins, to eternal life, and it was through your sacrifice. And as we partake of these elements now, may that be our focus. Now, Father, as you did that night with your disciples, so we do here today, that we remember the sacrifice that you laid down in your body, that by your stripes we are healed. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. So again, as we read earlier, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The next element that we take of is seen here in verse 25. It says, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do in remembrance,' or 'as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" Many have asked why the shedding of blood, the significance of that. Throughout Scripture in Hebrews, we see that it is the life that is in the blood. And we see it, how much more so spiritually speaking, Leviticus 17:11 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There is no remission." But it couldn't just be any blood. And that's what Hebrews talks about. If it was the blood of animals that brings us forgiveness, then we would still be doing that today. But that blood of the animals, that's not what forgave them in the Old Testament times. That's why it had to be replaced by the one sacrifice, the Lamb of God, that pure, spotless blood of Christ that would cover all of the sins of all of the people for all of eternity. Once and for all, it says in Hebrews, he died for me and for you. It's the shedding of blood that brings the forgiveness of sins. And so after supper, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we come before you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for taking our punishment, our sin. Thank you for being our atoning sacrifice for our sin. And I pray, Father, again, that we thank you for the cross, that we can look back to it with assurance, knowing what you have done. Father, everything that was done and everything that was predicted and everything that happened on the cross was fulfilled the day you rose again, 3 days after your brutal death. And so we look to the cross as well as the empty tomb, knowing that the blood, knowing that the sacrifice was not in vain, but that you and you alone have the power over sin and death. And we praise you for it. Thank you for that gracious gift. Thank you for your shed blood. May we go forward now, Father, in victory, not just recalling what it is that you have done once in a while, but daily. That we would remember we are forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is in that name and that name alone that we pray now and ask that these services would bring glory to your holy name and that we would point all to the foot of the cross. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.